have only to keep still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. May God bless these words to our understanding today. Now, this is one of those passages where if we need to lift up the word here in the pulpit, I think it just makes sense to share it coming down amongst the people. So I'm going to mosey on down toward you all so that I don't feel quite so high and lifted up. Golly. The Israelites, who are not yet Israelites because they hadn't gotten to Israel yet, often called the children of the Hebrews, had been enslaved for hundreds of years. And now they were doing something totally new that they had longed for generations. I mean, imagine, if you were a slave, would you want to be free? Of course. Of course. And so God, in a powerful way, in a particularly vivid way, through the 10 plagues visited upon the Egyptians, had saved the people and brought them out, as it says, with a mighty arm. And here they are, and they've gotten to the Dead Sea, or the Red Sea. Dead Sea's down in Israel. They haven't gotten there yet. They're at the Red Sea, and of course, it's this large body of water. And it says, as Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back. Now, there are three ways to look back, a couple of which are perfectly fine, and one of which is less so. You can physically look back, which is what they did. They look back, and lo and behold, there is the superpower of their era marching upon them. Imagine standing with a body of water in front of you, and you can't get over it because you don't have anything with which to build boats or rafts, and you don't have time, even if you did. And there's the superpower of the world coming at you. So they physically looked back. They also looked back, it says, not only in great fear, but they looked back to the good old days, those days when they could depend upon how life was going to play out. And yes, they had to make bricks. The men had to make the bricks to build the pyramids and the other building projects for the Egyptians, but they knew how the days were going to unfold, and they managed to scrape by. They survived. So they looked back to the good old days. We would never do that, would we? Those pre-pandemic days when the pews were a little fuller than they might be now, although we are coming back, I think, in a very nice way. And personally, I'm loving the combo worship in person plus Zoom or Facebook. I think that's a good thing. But we look back and we think, oh man, it was better then. Why was it better then? Because our brain stems let us know that we survived it. That's the simple physiological reason for why it was better then. We survived it. And today, you face a threat, you might not feel like you're going to survive it. So listen to what these little darlings said to Moses. It says, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? That's just dripping with sarcasm. And you know, if you read the Bible as if everything were lofty and elevated, you don't get the sarcasm, but they were being really sarcastic. Of course there were graves in Egypt, but you brought us out here, and then, with their rosy-colored glasses about the past, they say, isn't this the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better to serve the Egyptians than to die out here in the wilderness. Do you think they actually said that? Leave us alone, Moses. We don't want to be free. We just want to keep on being slaves. No, they didn't say that back there. This is them looking back the second way, which is to say, with rosy-colored glasses, oh, things were so good back then, and now we face these terrible challenges, and we're not sure we can get through it. And so what do? They pick on the human leader. It says they cried out to God, but then they start verbally banging on Moses. And Moses was a really good human leader, and it helped an awful lot that he stayed in touch with the Almighty. And he said to them what angels almost always say when they first appear: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, they've got the superpower of the world bearing down on them, and the Egyptians even had chariots. That was a relatively new invention. So they could go a lot faster than human legs could carry. They not only cannot build boats to cross the Red Sea, but they can't even run away because the Egyptians have chariots. So it was not an unreasonable fear. And yet Moses' very first words, "We're facing a challenge here, let's do it together, and do not be afraid." Stand firm. Why do we stand firm? We stand firm because of the third way that we can look back. The third way that you and I can look back, and that those people back then could look back, is to say, what are the values and the faith that we already have? What are the good things that make us strong inside? And we look back on what we have already decided we believe. We look back on our relationship with God and our relationships in the community, and we realize how those things help us. That's the third way to look back, and that is good and helpful. Stand firm, says Moses, and you and I stand firm as we look to the future and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. They weren't feeling like anybody was going to accomplish anything for them, and I don't know how you feel coming out of the pandemic. We're not quite through it yet, but I think the worst of it is behind us. I don't know how you feel coming through the political turmoil that we have come through in recent years. I don't know how you feel about your pastor taking a 2-month sabbatical. But those people back then weren't sure that anybody was going to deliver them, and Moses wanted to assure them, and I'd like to assure you and me, that God is still here to deliver us from anything that makes us afraid or anxious, worried or angry. All those things in life that are challenges for you and me, God is still here. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. That was true. That was a promise, and that happened. They never saw those Egyptians again, because you probably know they all got washed away in those waters that had seemed so fearsome. Now, I'm just going to, for just a second, because I was invited to preach because Pastor Sarah is on a 2-month sabbatical, just a second, I'd like to point out to you all what those of us who are pastors have gone through, because we tend to be stoic and we tend not to tell you when we feel burdened. But I know that she has gone through what pastors have gone through in the pandemic, and she needs some time away to just restore herself in her inner being. I used to have to take my cell phone and tape it to the back of a chair because my husband Bill Sisson and I were on full medical quarantine during the worst of the second surge of the pandemic before vaccinations. Pastor Sarah and Cole and Susan and Brandon were busily trying to produce worship here electronically. The church I was helping, Milroy, one of the young ladies in the church would prop her laptop on the lectern and turn it toward the congregation. And that way, I, in my living room with my cell phone pointed at my face, taped to the back of a chair, I could see the people in the church and they could see me. And with a congregation of 12, you can easily sit 6 feet apart from each other or in household groups. Pastor Sarah was working with the folks here to produce worship in at least 3 different ways that I have seen happen over time. That's stressful. I can promise you that those of us who've been to seminary, we did not get a course in information technology. And as much as we see it now as a great gift, it's just been wearing. But she'll be back. 2 months are going to fly by. before you blink, we will be in Lent and then to Easter, and we will all celebrate the resurrection again. So this is one of those situations where it says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. And lo and behold, Moses says to them, the Lord will fight for you. Do you ever think about God helping you fight your battles for you? That's a promise. That is a promise in Scripture. And you have only to keep still. By now, the Israelites are quiet. They're calming themselves down. They're remembering to breathe. They're remembering that God has already saved them from slavery, and surely God has the power and the authority to save them again, just as God does now. Now, here comes the kicker. Here comes the surprising part. Did you notice what God says to Moses? I love this. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Huh? I thought God wanted us to take everything to God. God says, tell the Israelites to go forward. I imagine that the children, Donnie and friends, already had their toes in the water. The kids are probably playing because, you know, kids like to get out there. When somebody said, he's fearless, yes, he is indeed. And Moses and God wanted those people to be fearless. And here's the kicker, only when they put their feet in the water did God part the water. Only when you and I move forward in faith can God actually do what God intends to do to lead you and me forward. Well, that's the message for today. I hope that it's something that you carry with you. I carry this scripture with me with some frequency. May you be blessed to move forward both through the next coming 2 months, and then when Pastor Sarah comes back, keep on moving forward as a congregation. I hope more and more people come here because this is a good news place, and you all are a light and a beacon of hope in this community. Please keep up the good work and the good ministry. May God bless you. Amen. Now, I would invite you to stay if you're able. Members, you will have voice and vote.